What's up, everybody? Welcome into NFL Trade Deadline Day. It's Tuesday here on Unpaved. He is Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. You follow him at Sean Unfiltered. Me at Adam G. Sager. The show at Unpaved on Rumble. Sean, how we feeling today?
I'm feeling awesome, man. It's trade deadline, so it adds a little perk to it. We got some college football talk, a lot going on, jobs open. We continue to ask what the best college job open, and a sneaky one, and we'll get to this later on because with trade deadline and with the big name already supposedly about to move, because we already got people talking about it, we'll hit it. But Segs, keep in mind, how is Auburn not a great job? That's what I mean, we know that the Texases and the LSUs and the Alabamas and Floridas are all great jobs. Penn State. Why is Auburn always changing head coaches? Have you ever noticed? Is it patience? We'll get to that. But we got to start with the trade deadline and Sauce Gardner and watch some desperation start to kick in after a week of losses. And I think it already started with this very trade.
Yeah. And before we get to that trade, I love the fact that the trade deadlines become useful to GMs. I love, because remember 5 years ago, we would see maybe small trades.
It was like, the worst trade deadline of any major sport. It
Yes. And now for the last five or so years, it's really picked up. It's become a thing that teams are using to go out and get guys, you know, at big time caliber levels. We've seen a lot of guys change hands, and you just talked about it. Colts go out. We know they're off to a hot start. One of the best teams in the NFL. They do have a need at the cornerback position. They go out and they trade two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner of the New York Jets. And what's your initial – what was the first thing you thought when you saw it was for two first-round picks going to back to the Jets?
Okay, and I'm assuming since this is early, just broke, less than 10 minutes ago or something.
Yeah,
like
just
that,
about 10 minutes ago, yep.
And looking at it, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming the Colts are going to go on and win the division. So that's a low first-round pick, correct? Are we assuming the next one's in 2027, back-to-back years?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I imagine. That's normally how these work. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think the Colts have two firsts this year, do they? Just one in 2026, right? I think.
I believe
so. You know, you got to get through your mind. Oh, did they get, you know, 2 years ago, did they trade this and got two first rounders?
Yeah, I'll tell you in just a second.
I think it's one, and then probably 2026, 2027. That has not been released as far as I've seen yet. Just a speculation on two first rounders, and I don't know.
No, they just have the one.
Okay, perfect. So it'll be more than likely 2026, 2027. And if this Colts team continues to build and they get these kind of results, probably a low first round pick. But we can probably it to death, because going into this season, if I would have told you that that the Kansas City Chiefs were going to be where they are right now, even though they played better, their record, you would have automatically assumed it was a low first-round pick, right? Maybe it'll be a mid-first-round pick for the Chiefs. Who knows? I think the Indianapolis Colts overpaid for this trade. I absolutely do. To me, the Jets don't win much. On the surface, this looks like a win. Now, I shouldn't have to qualify that. I think we all know Sauce Gardner's a hell of a player. But I'd like you to go in your mind over just on since Segs, this just kind of broke and we coming on live, just over your mind, and we don't have the 74 researchers that, you know, some of these networks have that could feed you when the last time in 1975. All right, think about the guys over the last handful of years at any position that have gone for two first-rounders. Matt Stafford, did he go for two first-rounders from the – Detroit, was it two or was it one? And Goff, or what's the one. your guy, the pass rusher from who went to the Chargers, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, that was right? Two first rounders.
Okay, so start going down. Find me the last time, and maybe it's happened recently. I don't know off the top of my head. The guys that come to mind, well, was Jalen Ramsey was when he was traded in the prime of his career. Tell me the last time that a corner on a shitty team was traded for two first rounders. A corner. Not saying I'm not diminishing them. They're good players. They matter. To me, the further away you get from the line of scrimmage, the less impact you can have. And that's understand when people say lockdown corner, I can show you tape where guys are still getting open against any corner in the league. Now, when you got the Stingleys or the Gardeners or guys who play that, my guy in Denver, Segs, why am I losing my mind there? Sertan. Sertan packed to be defensive player of the year last year. When you get those guys, let's even start at the top with the best. I was fortunate. I played against Dion, played against Rod Woodson. Guess what we never did? Although you had to know where they lined up. Oh, and let's like throw in a wide receiver there too. Are you kidding me? As good as Sauce Gardner is, if the Jets get 80% production from those two first rounds, they win. Okay, Lattimore traded to New Orleans to Washington, but not for two first rounders. Lattimore, they didn't get two first rounders from Lattimore. There's no first round at that stage of his career. So I'm going in my mind, Segs, with the urgency of this trade, thinking, okay, I understand what it does. If you're Sauce Gardner, you should be doing somersaults all the way to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Need for them.
But to get out of the Jets, yes.
I put it probably said, we'll offer a first and a third, and we'll give you a wide receiver. And they probably would have done it. They would have done it. So for me, it's like, okay, Sauce Gardner's the MVP. There's 10 other ways to go about it on defense, right? So, I mean, I understand why the Colts are thinking, we are a Super Bowl team. We got to go all in. So if they don't make the Super Bowl this year, does that mean that it was a shitty-ass trade? But when I'm thinking about the Rams, guess what Matt Stafford had in his hand? The football every single play. Okay, so let's say Sauce travels with the Colts, meaning he follows the best player around. How many targets do you think Smith Njigba's getting in the league? 10, 11, 12 targets a game?
Something like that.
50 other plays. My point is, Sean, that doesn't make sense. Yes, I know that the Deons and the Rod Woodsons and Hall of Famers were important. But we go into this automatically thinking that defensive backs can control a game. They rarely do, Segs. They rarely do, because if I'm reading it out and I can manipulate it with my formations and personnel groupings, I can attack your defense without throwing at that guy 30 times. But go watch the tape. Go watch Sauce Gardner. Go watch Stingley. Even though they make plays, they're still receivers. The other dude's getting paid too in open field one-on-one. Nacua versus Sauce Gardner. And we throw it to 20 times. Who's winning that matchup in man?
Nacua.
15 of them. Puka's winning. Yes. Two of them will be incomplete. One might be picked, two might be tipped away, or one might be thrown over his head. Other than that, he's winning. In man. In zone, he got help. So basically in deep zone, you play in two deep zone, he's got a flat coverage. He's not impact. I'll just go away from the read. My point is, and when you say that, people, they go, you're diminishing them. No, I'm not diminishing. I know how important they are. But I can tell you this. Great secondary, shitty pass rush. I'm not talking about the Colts. Anybody, I'm still beating you, even if I'm an average quarterback. Great pass rush, average secondary. You got a better chance of beating me, because that average secondary becomes really good when you're knocking a guy in his fucking mouth on a regular basis.
Right.
Okay? Now you get both. Well, God bless you. Then you get to be the 85 Bears or one of those teams, or a Tampa Bay who played zone with Monty Kiffin and was able to still rush four plays on Steve Spagnuolo's New York Giants. Name the starting secondary for the New York Giants Super Bowl runs there 2 years. Name it. You can't.
Right.
Now give me the front. Give me guys up front. Strahan. You can go across. You can name them all across.
Yep.
Four to six dudes. You name them. All right. Okay. No. Even the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now I know them because I'm an old school honk when it comes to memory of mine says Mel Blunt and Donnie Shell. But now do the Pittsburgh Steelers, LC Greenwood, Mean Joe Green, Ernie Holmes, Dwight White, Andy Russell, Jack Ham, Jack Lambert. That's their front seven. Most people say, yeah, who the hell was their secondary?
Right.
So while I'm not shrinking Sauce Gardner's impact, they matter. Because the other side is, if you have a shitty secondary, I'm going to eat you alive with a, quite frankly, a lower third quarterback, especially if you're not hitting me. Now, I get why the Colts, the urgency to do this. But, Segs, I almost feel like the loss last week panicked them a little bit to actually get – I do. Yet the Colts' defense really wasn't the biggest issue. They basically turned it over 11 times. They got sacked five times. They had six turnovers.
Yeah.
So, for me, two first-rounders and a player and a wide receiver on the surface, I don't care what anybody says. The Jets win it. I'm here in Houston. I know how good Stingley is. I ain't trading two first-rounders and a wide receiver for him. I'm just not. Now, hey, Sean, Nick Bosa is available. Oh, Okay. Sean, guess what? Myles Garrett. Now we're talking. Oh, Sean, do you realize that the Chargers want to trade Herbert? Two first rounders? Got it. My point is, while I'm not diminishing how good Gardner is, I'm just telling you, this makes the trade overrated. It just does. There's too many bodies. Well, now, if the Colts go on and win the Super Bowl and everybody's happy and he makes seven interceptions and is locked down, when you hear the term lockdown corner, Sykes, I got news for you. What does that mean to anybody? Right. That means, to me, lockdown, if I throw over there 10 times, eight of them, the guy's not getting anywhere near the football. And if we had all 22 like the NFL teams have to watch, Sauce Gardner's thing, I could say, well, they'll make a play, but I could still fit a curl in versus zone, and I could still beat him on a move or on an out cut or a post, depending on how the quarterback, the timing, how you're going to hold up under pressure. Because I know this, you give an average quarterback 3 seconds in this league, I don't give a shit if Mike Haynes, Lester Hayes, Mel Blunt, Rod Woodson, and Deion Sanders are your secondary. An average quarterback is going to complete the football against that secondary with right. decent receivers. They just are. So to me, on the surface, we'll see in the long run. Yeah, the two draft picks could be horse shit for the Jets. And judging from their history, maybe they're right. I'm not talking about draft picks. I'm just talking about winning. But I can tell you this, I'd have made that trade too. I'd have made that trade too. And on the surface, Jets win. But the Colts, if you're Sauce Gardner, you're celebrating an early Christmas present. You get to go to the playoffs, man. God bless you. Good on you.
Right. And while you've been talking, I've been, frantically looking to kind of see some players that have been traded for two first round picks. Obviously, we just had Micah Parsons. We've had Deshaun Watson in the past, quarterback. We've had
that shit hadn't worked either because he's been it's been a joke.
That was a dumbass trade with everything going on around him.
And 230 million guaranteed reasons.
Cleveland, they're morons. Texans traded two first round picks for Laremy Tunsil. The Chicago Bears traded two first round picks for Khalil Mack. The Chicago Bears traded two first round picks for Jake Cutler. Then there was Ricky Williams. And then there was Keyshawn Johnson. Other than that, I believe that's all of them that have been traded. So you're talking edge rushers.
Recent memory, right?
Quarterbacks. Yes. Right. Since 2000.
And tackles. And by the way, now let's go through them. Give me a name real quick. Let's go through that name again. Just read them off, and I'm going to just say one sentence about it.
Okay. Deshaun Watson.
Most overrated quarterback trade in the worst contract in NFL history, Cleveland Browns. That'll tell you right there.
Laremy Tunsil.
You get him, sew it up, leads the league in penalties back-to-back years, and you shipped him out for less. Okay? And Washington's not making the playoffs. And their quarterback's hurt. We'll leave it at that.
Khalil Mack.
Good player. I understand why they did. It's been good at a couple different places. Probably worth it because he's closer to the quarterback and they can disrupt games. I'll give them that one. So it's 2-1 against.
Jay Cutler to the Bears.
I think you understand that, Ant. I love Jay. Hell, I love him. I love his personality. But it didn't end in anything special for the Bears. And that was a quarterback who's got the ball in his hand 60 times a game.
It didn't work, but it was a trade that for the Bears had to be made. You needed that kind of jump.
There's no doubt about it.
You're taking that chance on a quarterback.
You had to take that risk on a guy who does have the ball 65 times a game.
Right. Ricky Williams.
Not even close.
Especially in this day and age with the running backs.
Yeah,
not even close. And then the last one since 2000 was when the Bucs acquired Keyshawn Johnson from the Jets.
You know, dude, Key used to come to my apartment when I was at SC. We'd feed him top ramen and he'd hang around. He was our ball boy. So Key's like family to me. Love him. Keyshawn had a damn good career. I get it. Receiver gets the ball. Hell, even nowadays, he'd even make a bigger impact the way the rules are on the rest. He was a hell of a player. He'd even be better now considering his size. He could play inside. Great route runner, big physical guy. Love him. I'll even give you that one. But now, how many corners, Segs? How many corners have been packed into? You can't find one. So to me, can Sauce Gardner get down the three-point stance and rush the passer? No. Is he protecting his quarterback, or is he Puka Nacua on the offense? In a matchup one-on-one, my good receiver's beating a good corner with give me 3 seconds, 2.75. He's beating him most of the time. And I love good corners, but it's got to fit into the defense. I can have a bad secondary and a disruptor like Micah Parsons anywhere that changes the game. You can be the greatest corner in the world. I'll move my formation around where we never have to see your ass. And I'll put the ball wherever I need it, and then I'll come to you just when you thought it was safe. We'll attack you. And if you're a zone team, two first rounders for a zone team, if that's who you are, forget it. This trade on the surface, all Jets all the time. I'd make it six ways to Sunday and twice on Sunday. And I think Sauce Gardner's a hell of a player. They overpaid for a corner, but the Colts are in a position where they think they're going to be a Super Bowl team this year. So I get it for 1 year. Talk to me in 3 years. They ain't going to have three Super Bowl rings because of Sauce Gardner.
Simple. Here's another layer to this. The Colts now have Sauce Gardner for the next 5.5 years under contract worth $131.5 million. So basically $26.1 million over the next 5 years after this year. So, I mean, he's paid well. He's paid to be one of the top corners in the NFL, but I don't know how good he really is on top of everything you've talked about with the impact a cornerback can make. I mean, who's the last cornerback that we said? I mean, the name that keeps coming to my mind is Darrelle Revis. He was the guy that's like, he changed the way offenses played football. Because it wasn't called Revis
I ever played against.
Yes. And then you go back Rod further, Woodson, you get Deion, Rod Woodson, those guys. Charles Woodson.
Agreed. When I played against those guys, Rod Woodson, because Rod could play inside, outside, but Rod was a friggin' monster pass rusher, blitzer. So we had to concern where he, because he felt like a fifth line. I, honest to God, he was he was physical. He was fast. He had football IQ, was through the roof. So when we played against him, we had to know where he lined up from the safety, because he'd come off the slot as an outside linebacker blitzer. He was really freaking good. Richard Sherman was good. Richard Sherman would never have been worth two first-round picks. Sorry. And he was a zone. They played a lot of zone. Played about three or four coverages in Seattle. And, Mike, you're right. When it comes to lockdown as a man, yeah, we refer to that. That's my point. Unless you're playing – now, I'll tell you where it would have fit even better. If Minnesota trades for Sauce Gardner, with Brian Flores blitzing four, caught regularly, 40, I mean, up there all the time. Then you're putting that guy on an island, and it's not Revis Island, and as good as Sauce Gardner is, I can tell you this. If the Colts go win a Super Bowl, and we look at the numbers and say, man, he can play all the great defense he wants. If the offense turns it over six times a game, you won't give a shit about this trade. If you're the Jets, you're like, man, this was legalized theft. So for that, the money he's going to make and what you gave up to get him, he better be Deion Sanders and Rod Woodson. I can tell you that. And I, on the surface, the Jets need all kinds of crap. They're five players away from being five players away.
I love this trade for the Jets because you got.
Oh, I do too. But what they're going to do with it, who the hell knows, right?
Right.
Trade them all. 100%. Trade them all. Miami Dolphins should be jumping in on stuff like that. Yep. I can name five or six teams that should be fire sailing their ass off on this. And apparently the Jets are going to do it. And do Oklahoma City, Houston Rockets. Get 40 assets and get rid of them and start building from scratch, because the roster you got now ain't doing shit. The Colts need a player or two, and they may be a player or two away. But you better not turn it over six times, because you won't get out of the damn division. So for me, that's a overpay for a tackle, overpay for a quarterback, overpay if you think it's an overpay for an edge rusher. I don't overpay for anybody that's 25 yards or 15 yards or 10 yards removed from the line of scrimmage. I'll pay good. I'm not overpaying. As good as DBs are, they become more average than you can imagine if a quarterback gets to sit back there with no pass rush. All of them. And that's no disrespect. That's just fact. And the smart ones will tell you that as well. They know how important a pass rush is to their game.
Yep. So keeping everybody up to date on trades that have been made. Where'd that page go? There it is. We also had the Seahawks landing Saints wide receiver Rashid Shaheed in a deal for a fourth and fifth round pick. So that gives Sam Darnold another weapon who you can play in the slot. You can play outside. He's a very good player. You just get him the ball and watch him work. He complements Jackson Smith and Njigba very well. I love that move. And Sam Darnold is balling out. So go get a wide receiver and keep him balling out. Give him more.
Four more touchdown passes. The guy's playing like we expect him to play when he left. Well, when he was drafted by that team, the Jets. He's gone to three different places, and now he's playing like – well, he played like it last year. Sam Darnold, give him another weapon. Get after it, because you know what? Guess who's not going away? The Rams and the 49ers. You're going to need more weapons in that division, Segs, to attack. I like this trade. And if you're the Saints, speaking of fire sale, salary cap hell, They're sacking. They need to go get a lot of draft picks and assets. Guess who else needs to go? I know their running back position is decimated. You still got to entertain Alvin Kamara, a trade for him. He'd be a great addition to somebody who needs a banger and a guy who can pound it inside but is so good on the perimeter. When I say banger, I'm talking about a guy who could touch the ball on the perimeter, catch it in space, and still get you – and still hit inside with some wiggle and some power, but get you in space. Somebody who needs a back. I can go through a whole litany of players on the Saints, and that, hell, if you're going to lose with the team you got, go lose with some young players that you can grow with. This is a good trade for both. I like what they did, and you acquire two assets if you're the Seattle Seahawks that aren't first-round picks, but they're you can start to package them together to move up more to give yourself more opportunities.
Saints are another one of those teams that just have to fire sell. Saints, Dolphins, Jets. I think you could throw a couple more in there, but I want to wait a few weeks.
The damn Raiders may be on that verge too, Sage, if they don't get things switched around because they don't know how to win right now.
Yes, we just had another smaller trade. Browns are sending defensive end Joe Tryon Shoyinka and a 7th-round pick to the Bears for a 6th-round pick. Bears needed some depth on their pass rush with some injuries they've sustained over the last couple weeks. So that helps them. We also had yesterday.
It's a warm body for depth, thanks. That's warm body for depth.
That's all it is. Yep. And they needed it. We had Jalen Phillips traded for a 3rd-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. So you talk about the Dolphins. I also expect to see Bradley Chubb's name moved here at the deadline if they can get probably a 4th or a 5th-round pick for him. Other names, there's talk of Minka Fitzpatrick being available and the Cowboys looking at him. They also added Logan Wilson, the linebacker from the Bengals, for I believe a 4th and a 5th or a 5th and a 6th or something like that. I don't remember. All these trades are starting.
If you're Minka Fitzpatrick, just do yourself a favor. Don't buy a home. Rent because you're a guy that's a good player that everybody kind of wants, but the team's not willing to pay you to keep you. So they're willing to go and get some assets for you and go. And well, I know we're going to get to the Cowboys. What a shitty ass team and what a crappy ass culture to win. How they lose that game last night, keep trading, is absolutely beyond me. Say, well, we told you yesterday, how do they lose to this team? It's a blowout, right? With the urgency. And they went out there and they looked like they wouldn't have beat South Lake Carroll in Dallas on a Friday night. It was embarrassment. A friggin' embarrassment again. But they'll keep telling you in the front office they're close. Close to what? These nuts? Are you kidding me? They are friggin' horrible. And I would have expected they'd at least show up offensively, even though the defense hadn't shown. Well, we're making
Jerry Jones has to get out of his own fucking way at some point.
He won't. He's not going to get out of his way until he dies, and he's living until he's a buck 50, okay?
Exactly.
So understand that. You'll be dead at 95 before he is because he's not giving control up or anything. He thinks these are great moves. Great moves for what? You already gave away your best football player, and I'm including Dak Prescott when you talk about your best player being Michael Parsons. So
he's arguably becoming, you know, we're going to start talking about Jerry Jones. Like for me, example, I talk about Jerry Reinsdorf, an owner who won't spend money for the White Sox, won't spend money for the Bulls, just does the bare minimum of what he needs to. And you're in a big market in Chicago. He's one of the worst owners. We've got a ton of crappy owners, and Jerry Jones is going to start being talked about in that same ilk.
He's a good owner and a great marketer. He's a brilliant marketer. He's a horrible GM. And Sags, what happens is the same things that made these guys great and know how to make money. Go through all the billionaires from Gates to Elon Musk, all of them, Bezos. What do they all have in common? They got huge egos, but they're smart as shit, right? Yes. But they also, a lot of them, now some would argue that Bill Gates needs to stay in a different lane because Bill Gates thinks he's a doctor, a lawyer, a technology guy.
He tries to do a little too much.
Jump in a couple. At least I'll give Warren Buffett credit. He knows how to make money, and he usually stays in the money lane, right? He
just does.
So that's exactly right. So, but these guys who do it, so their brilliance is they know how to craft the deal. Our president of the United States knows how to craft the deal, but the problem is, guess what happens? They craft deals, and then they think because they're great at marketing. Jerry's one of the most brilliant marketers in sports history, if not the best. The problem is he thinks because he's a great marketer and knows how to get Coors or Budweiser to put a sign up and pay him $1 billion, that he thinks that leads to knowing what a 4th-round pick is going to bring to his team. His ego that made him great is the same thing that's going to prevent him. Because at this pace, we will be sitting here doing this show a decade from now, and the Dallas Cowboys will still be in talked about that they haven't won a Super Bowl since the mid-90s. Because when the name in the face of the biggest, the name in the face of the organization that I've mentioned on here before, Sigs, is the name in the face is the owners, the face of the organization, you've got no fucking shot. And this team will continue to flounder in mediocrity when it comes to knowing how to win. They don't know how to win. And it's the ego problem that gets in the way.
Let me ask you about the other team that played last night and won, the Arizona Cardinals, behind Jacoby Brissett, who went out there and played a hell of a game. He played well. Kyler Murray's starting to get healthy. What do you do if you're the Arizona Cardinals? Do you go back to Kyler Murray because he's making all this money? Do you put him on the market, see if some team will trade for him? Do you just stick with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback and Kyler's your backup now? What do you do if you're the Arizona Cardinals?
The ship in Arizona, in my opinion, for the consistency has sailed with Kyler Murray. And it started with the lack of preparation. He's a dynamic talent. Jacoby Brissett for that team and what they want and ego. Everywhere Brissett goes, if you noticed, he just contributes and does a nice job for him. Some will have him come in, you know, and you're our third down package guy. Great. Some will come in and start. Wherever he's gone, backup or starter, he's got a little the guts and the moxie and the fits in kind of like Tyrod Taylor. And even a joke, I'm talking about Flacco, they just seem to rise up and help their team. Yes. It's not spectacular, but he just does it. I'm going to tell you right now, the Arizona Cardinals got a better chance the rest of the season to win more games because of Brissett's consistency. And I think from my vantage point, the respect his teammates have for him, I think they roll through. You know what I would do? Right now, I'm starting to think, okay, why not send Kyler Murray to the Jets at the end of this year? I don't know about the trade deadline. Why not send him to the Jets? You don't have to go spend a first rounder on another quarterback that you don't know is going to work. You get a guy that you'll be willing to take on salary. You just got rid of $130 some million with Sauce Gardner. You're looking for a spark. He's a dynamic talent. I don't know if it's ever going to lead to hell. He may be playing center field for the Las Vegas A's in a year. I don't know, but he is a talented guy. Segs, he is. Kyler Murray. The problem is he's a flash. He's a sometimer. Right. Sometimes he's brilliant and great. Sometimes I don't even know how the guy, you say, how did you draft him with the first pick? So he's a sometime. The problem is with guys like Brissett that just stay the course over the long haul, you just win more games. But man, when Kyler's on that day, dude, he can run. He can make you miss. He does it all. But sometimers don't win championships. So if you're not going to win a championship, why not trade? There you go. Another one, Miami. And you know what, Kyler for Tua, you can't trade him. You can't trade him one for one because quite well, maybe you can. You're losing a dynamic talent for a guy that everything has to go perfect into a timing and the rest of it. But maybe with other players packaged, it's a good one. I don't see how Kyler Murray is your starting quarterback if you want to win a championship next year. I do see the intrigue with somebody else wanting him. I do, because you look at him, Segs, when he's good, he's damn good. But when he's bad, he's non-existent. And the truth of the matter is, how many playoff games he won? And I don't know. To me, there comes a point in time when you say change of venue is important. I can win just as many games for less with Jacoby Brissett for now. I think you're going to see some movement with quarterbacks, maybe even at the deadline, but more importantly in the offseason. Kyler Murray's not winning me a championship in Arizona, and I'm not even sure he's the best quarterback for that team on that roster, even though he's the most talented.
And I think another thing to look at when you're talking about this, why it makes sense for Miami or the Jets to make that type of move for a Kyler Murray. When you look at this draft class, we just don't know. You have Fernando Mendoza kind of pushing his way as the top guy. And then you got guys like Ty Simpson. You got Dante Moore if he wants to come out. You've got some others in there. But if you're not sold on this, why not take a chance on a guy like Kyler who changes scenery, maybe gets with the right coach, whoever that is, and then we see what happens. I mean, it's one of those things you just never know when they change. I mean, look at Sam Darnold. Look at Baker Mayfield. Sometimes it just takes these guys to get away from where they were drafted, get with the right coach, the right situation, and then boom, they kind of take off. And Kyler's got the talent. It's just, can he do it?
Yeah, but I don't know if he's tough-minded enough like Baker Mayfield. Exactly. But one thing, the difference is, if you're just talking about raw talent, Kyler Murray is more talented than those names you just named. Mm-hmm. But I can sure as hell tell you this, he's not even in the same area code when it comes to mental toughness. Baker Mayfield, instead of pouting about it and making excuses, went to work on his fourth or fifth team and is now kicking ass. And look at just listening to him. You want to play for him. Right now, I think you're sitting back saying, is Kyler an asset or a detriment to our franchise? That's what you got to weigh if you're getting him and if you're Arizona. But I can tell you right now, they're not winning a championship with him anytime soon in Arizona. They're just not.
Let me ask you this.
It's time to move on.
So now we've got four teams with multiple first-round picks next year, with two. We got the New York Jets. Of course, they're not going to trade any of those. They're trying to build them. Cleveland Browns, same situation. Dallas Cowboys should be trying that same thing, trying to gather first-round picks. But you're the L.A. Rams, and a team comes calling and says, hey, we know you got two first-round picks. Would you throw us yours, which should be in the 20s? You know, they got Atlanta's, which is, could be a top-10 pick. Hey, would you throw us your first-round pick for a big-time player that maybe helps you get to that next level when it comes to trying to win a Super Bowl this year? Would you consider it if you're L.A.? And now I don't know the whole situation with their cap and all that. This is just me seeing that.
We're just talking about player to player. Just on the going. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Segs, you want to know what? Tell me one of those teams that's probably going to change coaches and we're still concerned about the health of a quarterback. Name me one of those teams that you need to fire. So probably going to change coaches. He makes a lot of money, and he's a monster player. Would you trade Jamar Chase for two first-round picks?
If you're Cincinnati, who?
Yeah.
Oof, I think you're counting on Joe Burrow.
But I'm just tempting you with a little bit of appetizer.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm just teasing you with. If you are let's go from the Rams' point of view. Two first-rounders, and it's probably going to be lower because they're good. But two first-rounders, well, if it's two picks this year, different story, right, Segs? So one, you never know. Who's the other one coming from? Who to come from, Segs? Do we know? No big deal. But let's just
Atlanta, the two first-rounders. So it'll be
top 15, top 12 picks, right? Top 10.
Right now, as things stand right now.
Okay. So 11 and 22, let's just say, or 23, or they get to the playoff, I don't care, 11 and 32, whatever it is. And they call him up, Les Snead calls up and says, hey, man, we'll give you two first-rounders for Jamar Chase. Now, first off, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you're all pointing to the Jets and say, well, wait a second now. You want maybe the most dynamic receiver in the league, he and Jefferson. Sauce Gardner got two first-rounders and a player. But you want my guy for two first-rounders? Yep, we sure do. Well, you know, I'm just thinking a conversation. Now, I want you to visualize Stafford, who would say, I think I'll play three more years or five more years after this. Stafford, Nacua, and I'm just using Chase as an example for a team that would move on from. Or, I don't know, do you trade a first-rounder for a healthy Tyreek Hill? Just kind of roll through those things, Segs. So, for me, I'm just saying that because if you're the Rams, you're not looking to get a kind of guy. You're looking to get a monster need player. I don't care if it's an edge rusher. Okay. How about two first rounders and a conditional second round pick or third round pick for Myles Garrett to Cleveland?
That's what I was just going to throw at you. Would you trade your two picks this year? Plus say Byron Young pass rusher. He has 9 sacks this year. Hell of a player, but you're getting arguably probably the best defensive football player in the NFL.
You want my answer? Yes. Immediately if I'm the Rams and immediately if I'm the Cleveland Browns. Right now. Let the Rams take on that salary. Now you got Nacua, who arguably is the best. He's the best possession receiver on the planet and changes games. You get the Rams who are looking for they'd get another Aaron Donald to just be on the edge instead of the interior. You get a guy. And I'm sure Myles Garrett would love it because Myles Garrett's not a playoff team with that offense they have. So, and then you start to rebuild with all that $230 million you owe Deshaun Watson. Hell yes. The only reason I said Chase is, okay, how are you Cincinnati? Is Joe Burrow good? Are we going to get him healthy? You just paid this guy a lot of money. You pay your other receiver a lot of money. And I know McVay's temptation to have dominant weapons, right? But if I'm the Rams, he said two first rounders and like you said, a 9, 10, 12 sack guy for Myles Garrett. If I'm the Rams, you know how long it takes me to answer that call? I pick it up before the ringer's done. Okay.
Yeah.
Before he even dials it, I'm reading and simpatico with him and doing it.
And
absolutely.
And if you're the Cleveland Browns, remember, you're one of those teams that I just said already have two. So if they're throwing you their two first round picks, and I think it would be more, you're adding probably maybe a second rounder, maybe a fifth rounder, you know, something like that.
It's going to impact the game more. Sauce Gardner or Myles Garrett for two first rounders. It's not even friggin' close.
I'm talking about even in the
mental and emotional usage of the brain preseason. During the week, the preparation. You're going into a game. Sauce Gardner and Myles Garrett are on the same team, and I love Sauce Gardner. I crave having Myles Garrett on my team. You go into a game, you're playing them both, and I'm in my meeting room during the week. Who do you think's using up more practice time on our practice field, on our scout team practice field? Blocking Myles Garrett or how to attack a secondary?
Myles Garrett.
Blocking Myles Garrett. So, hell yes. And I don't think Myles Garrett, I'm sure he loves the Browns fans, but that dude's going to be one of those, damn, he's that good and we can't get him in the playoffs. That guy who's going to want a chance at a Super Bowl. And it ain't happening in Cleveland anytime soon.
Yeah, and if you're Cleveland, you can change it around if you want. You could say, yeah, give me that Atlanta pick that we think could be a top 10-ish pick. I don't want the other first-round pick this year. I want it next year. So you can then have multiple picks next year, and that you've got three this year, two next year. Now you're sitting pretty with, you know, you've got two young quarterbacks that you are trying to develop. If you're sitting there and you want Fernando Mendoza, you can go get him. You can go get
him. Yeah, if you think neither one of them's your future, go get another first-round pick. Because the quarterback, you know, when he miss, I'm one of those guys, tee it up and go play again. Go find, until I get it right, I'm drafting a quarterback. The Rams, look how good Goff is, and they still had to trade to get Stafford to win a Super Bowl. Look how good, you know what I'm saying? So, and you drafted that guy in the first round. Listen, put it this way, it'll prevent Sean McVay from going into broadcasting anytime soon. You go get a guy like Myles Garrett, you say, I think I'll delay that broadcasting $10 million, $12, $15 million a year because I got a chance to win two or three more Super Bowls. 100%. Myles Garrett would be my number one target if I'm the Rams during the offseason.
If I'm Cleveland and I have the chance to have, as of it stands right now, the 6th, the 11th, and the 19th pick, and then if I want the Rams pick this year, say, we think this is going to be a good draft, you're sitting right now at the 27th pick. So four top 27 picks, plus you got your second round pick, which is going to be, you know, in that 35-ish range, 36. Five picks.
Which in essence, Segs, is basically a first round pick. That's what it is.
And to be honest, you don't have to go take a quarterback this year. Load up on five great players that you think can be high level starters and let your other two young quarterbacks and Gabriel and Sanders fight it out for the next couple of years, see if anything comes, and then build your team up around them. And then when it's time, drop that quarterback in and you go.
Segs, what happens too, I want to see if Sanders and Gabriel can lead with a better team. They're on a shitty team offensively. Good defense, but bad offense. So you do, you say, well, we don't even need, and unless you're so in love, if you think Andrew Luck or Elway are in this draft, to my knowledge and to my eyesight, he's not. So that guy's not there. So if you go in saying, well, Jaden Daniels, man, or Burrow, a guy like that's next year, we got to find out if Sanders and Gabriel can play on a good team throughout the season or on a pretty good. So you load up with great players, and then you can bring in a first-round pick the following year and say, or Segs, I hate to say this, but let's just say you get a bunch of picks and you're stuck with Watson and he comes back healthy and plays anywhere similar to the way he played with the Texans, right? Let's say you get 85% of the performance that you got in Houston and Cleveland because you're strapped to him with all that money. You say, all right, 85% gives me a pretty decent quarterback, more talented than the two guys that are young there. And you and I both know it. Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are not as talented as Watson. All the other shit that comes with the baggage, Watson.
Right.
You almost feel like you got to milk another year of that contract to see. So find out who the guy is. And if at the end of 2026, none of them are the guy, you've put yourself in position to go get the guy.
Right.
Right. Especially if you don't get that guy's in 2026. And you've already put five rookies in the starting lineup with your first round picks and you're rolling, or your first and second round picks. And now you've built it the right way where the quarterback doesn't have to come in and be the reason you win. He can be part of the reason, like what Minnesota has with JJ. Doesn't have to dominate, but you know for the future you got a pretty good one with players around him.
Yeah, I never understand why teams force quarterback picks when they are so far away?
Optics. Now, I get fan optics.
You're right. Yes. And GMs, they don't get 6 years anymore. Head coaches don't get 6 years anymore. You get three. So if you see a quarterback you like, I guess I do understand it a little bit.
Unless you're Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry.
Right.
You get more than six.
All kinds. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you still suck and you still keep your job. So
it's a good gig if you can get it.
It's crazy when I see teams. Now, I get it. If you think, for example, Caleb Williams or Drake May are that guy, that it doesn't matter who it is, and you have that first round pick, yeah, you go get them. You go take them.
Yeah, guess what the Bears and Patriots are not doing either. When you get that guy, those guys ain't going anywhere. I'm not saying they're going to trade with those guys, but that guy, those guys are hard to find. And when you find them, you have to, you can't pry them away, dude. You have to spray a hose on them. It's like two rats banging in a wool sock in the summertime, right? It's hot. You ain't getting them. They ain't separating, brother. They just not. And that's why when you get those guys, you get them. By the way, Caleb Williams is playing better football every week, dude. We'll get to that another day.
Yeah, that's another day. But he was pretty good this week. I finally, because I was gone at my boys' football game while the Bears were playing. I went back and watched it yesterday morning. I thought he played. First half was a little shaky. Second half,
he has that every game. He always does that. There's something going on. But he's finding ways to get it done. And that throw at the end of the game to Loveland in traffic to give him a chance on that deep end cut to go the
right over that linebacker.
Yeah, they're doing it. So I just wanted to throw that in because he takes a lot of flack, and rightfully, I get it. But he and May, we got some Jaden when he gets out. We got some really good young quarterbacks that are starting to flourish with their teams, including a guy who seems to just spot a team a 10-point lead, and Bo Nix will find a way to beat you late. We're seeing that. So pretty important, but you don't need to force feed yourself. You're Cleveland. You have 74 of them on your roster. You might as well go build the roster and find out if that guy's not there, then go get him in 2027. Not that hard.
I just keep looking at Twitter just to make sure that, you know, nothing's changed. And the first thing that pops up is, boom, a big picture of a Browns, you could tell, defensive end. And I'm like, oh, crap, he moved. But, no, it's just that Bears trade for the guy.
You got to have a lot of balls to trade Myles Garrett those things. Ooh, you really do. You do. But if you can trade Micah Parsons just like that, you know, earlier, there's hard to find the sacred cow, and those guys are usually quarterbacks.
Yes.
They usually are.
Tomorrow we will hit our college football talk. We got Hugh Freeze fired. We're going to talk Texas.
No, we didn't get Hugh Freeze fired.
Yeah.
It's not like we got Hugh Freeze fired.
Fired Hugh Freeze. We will talk about it. Arch Manning played really well. The ACC, what happens if, you know, we have a couple two-loss teams? How many of them get in when we talk about Miami, Georgia Tech, and Virginia? We'll continue.
For your money right now, Segs, who's the best team in the ACC? If they all played right now and you had to put your money on, is it Virginia? Is it Georgia Tech?
I feel like it's Virginia.
Do you?
If they all
played in a head-to-head for all the money on the line to be in the playoff, and you only had to choose one of them, are you picking against Haynes King when it matters? Are you
ready to pick against the Miami,
even though they're not
Miami.
When they're all their best, who's the best team, Segs? When they're all playing their best.
I would probably say, in the end, give me Haynes King and Georgia Tech.
I agree. Because you know what? If you're talking about roster, give me Miami. Just Miami. But the problem is, I trust Haynes King more than I trust Virginia, or for sure. Listen, I know it sounds like I do like Carson Beck. But I think Carson Beck is the three-quarter guy.
Yeah.
To where I just don't trust him under duress in the biggest games. And if they both had the ball last, who do you trust to go the distance? Haynes King or Carson Beck or Virginia? I am taking, of those three, give me Georgia Tech, even though, because the quarterback roster, give me Miami. But I don't like the way Miami's playing right now.
There's just something about Virginia that I just love. Just watching them when they beat Florida State and just – the big games they've played in, I just really like the way that team plays.
And they're doing it without any fanfare, brother. They're just kind of plodding along, man.
You would never know Virginia's ranked 12th, I think it is.
Agreed.
Like, you would have no idea because they're never talked about. And then the other great thing that we have back, college basketball. I watched it last night. I watched my Wolverines annihilate somebody. I watched some of Illinois. I watched some just a bunch of different games, parts of different games. And I just love that college basketball is back. We've got some great players. That kid at Kansas, Peterson, is going to be really fucking good. Dibansa out at BYU, another guy in NIL guy. BYU
grabbing him is a huge get, brother. That's about as big recruit as they've ever had, if not the biggest. So, I think it is the biggest as far as stars ratings go in the history of this. Yes. And they've had some pretty good ones, but he is a monster.
So their college basketball is just beginning, and I'm pumped for it. And that's how we're going to end the show. Our bet of the day, the way we always end a show with a bet. We find you what we like as a bet. And today we're going Texas. The Longhorns travel out to Charlotte to face the Blue Devils of Duke and Cameron Boozer, Carlos's son, who's right there with those other two freshmen I just mentioned. As a guy that
we're talking about, Boozer's kid already being a dominant player in college hoops.
And he's looked good in the exhibition so far. He's averaged, like, I think one game he had like 28 and 13. So there is some monster freshmen. But that game tonight, we got Duke minus 9.5. And the over-under sits at 152.5. I know it's early. I know we haven't seen these teams play. But I'm throwing this at you. Can Texas hang with Duke early in the season? And or does the freshman and Duke, who has some experience with some kids that stayed, do they just blow out the Longhorns in game one?
If we were talking later on, Segs, a lot of times in college basketball is my favorite bet. NFL, dude, try to pick the NFL on a weekly basis. Like, you watched the Cowboys last night and the Cardinals. It's like it just – the NFL is a shit show when it comes to being consistent winner. Even if you're a winner, I got news for you. You ain't winning at a 70% clip in the NFL.
Yeah, I avoid the NFL like the plague.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, Segs, in Charlotte at a neutral site closer to Duke, obviously. Duke's the better all-around team. Texas is always – they're always hang around as well. But I – favorites in the preseason – when I say preseason, I'm talking about early in the season. I'm going to say I like Duke by double digits to start the season like this. I do. 9.5 early on. Now, like I said, Texas gets it together later on. We'd probably have a different conversation. If it was in Austin, I might say they get it within, you know, a touchdown and an extra point. But I like Duke in this one by, you know, close to double digits, you know, 10, 11, 12 points. I think it's a double-digit win. And Boozer's not just like his old man. He ain't just a scorer. He'll get to the backboards too, which makes him fun to watch because he'll play physical and nasty. Give me Duke. Again, another national championship contender. Well, there you see it, a 25-24 board performance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's a monster on the backboards on both ends and can score. I like Duke by double digits in this stage. I don't know if we'd say that in February or in January, but I can say it now. Give me Duke tonight. I'm going to bet this game as well.
Yeah, I think give me Duke as well. I think John Shire wants to come out and kind of make a statement early with Boozer.
And the company. Way it ended last year, Segs, right?
Yes.
The way it ended last year. Now, if I definitely ask people who the national champion was, what do you think they'd say? Do you think people remember?
Probably not.
Think about it. Yeah. I mean, I was at the Final Four, and I know, but just think about who won the national championship last year.
I'm trying to remember. I don't even remember off the top of my head.
Do yourself a little read. I'm not saying being a smartass. That's my point. Think about that. That was in March. Well, in April.
Florida? Is it Florida? I'm pulling it up, but I think it was, Florida. Okay. With Alex Condon.
And who'd they beat?
I have no idea.
Well, the Final Four was Florida, Duke, Houston, and who am I leaving out? Who was the fourth team in the Final Four, Sakes? It was the one seed, wasn't it? Auburn, one or two seed?
With Johnny Broom. Auburn with Johnny Broom.
There you go. So you saw the – but my point is, see how quickly we forget the runner-up?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, but my point, too, is the team that – because I was at it in Florida and Houston. I was at that Final Four, so I knew that – is – Duke with the best player in the on the planet last year. Mm-hmm. They get all the fanfare, and I was in San Antonio for it. Is when you're the losing team in that Segs, you don't forget. It feels like it happened yesterday, even though roster changes and the rest of it. So my point is, you mentioned Shire. They're going to do everything they can to send a statement early. And I would imagine, even though some of the guys that weren't even on the roster, it's still Duke, and it's still memory, and they still talk about it in the building. So give me Duke in this one by double digits.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just, as we said, Shire wants to make a
and
statement.
Six, you and I was there, but you and I are diehard. You're a diehard college Hoops fan. That's quickly we forget who the other team was, the runner-up. It's a trip.
As soon as I saw it was Florida Houston, now I remember the end with Clayton going big. And just, yes, I remember that now.
My guy, Kelvin Sampson, I thought for sure this was the year because it was a bummer how it ended. So he'll get another chance this year with maybe another team that's even better. So
yes, I think so, because they will have probably, I'm guessing, 4 first-round picks, maybe just 3 after the year. I mean, it depends on who all goes.
Talk about the Cougars?
Yes.
Oh, dude, they're so good. And Isaiah, do I remember it? I was there. Kelvin Sampson's one of my good friends, and so – there's very little I don't remember about the Cougars and the way he goes about his business. And it was a fast, it was a furious late run, no question. Yeah. The only thing for them is being able to knock down shots late, six. Because I'm going to tell you right now, at no time under Kelvin Sampson's coaching tenure, now or any other time, there will be nobody in this country. There's good defense. Nobody is relentless on both ends on the backboards, diving on the floor, playing defense, contesting every shot. The key is they just need to make a couple more clutch shots late, because if you don't play hard on both ends and on the backboards and play defense, you will sit next to Kelvin Sampson, and he doesn't give a damn who you are or what round you're going in or what pick you are. And so one of these years, Segs, under Kelvin Sampson, I do believe that, I mean, they wear your ass out, and nobody's more conditioned than that team in America. They just got to knock down shots, and they may be better this year than they were last year, and that's the honest to God truth. And they're getting 5-star guys that the transfer portal, guys that want to go play for Coach Sampson. So I believe they're a Final Four team again, Segs, and I don't think many of us are going to argue that.
We will at some point here in the next week or so pick our Final Four, pick our national champion in college basketball as we get this season going, you know. Give us a little time to watch teams, you know, watch a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to pick a national champion on some early exhibition, early preseason.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So I can name 5 teams right now that aren't going away. So you could have Duke and Kansas and Houston. I mean, you can go through them, Carolina, the guys that are going to be around. But Tom Izzo's team will find a way. Hey, they just do.
Tom Izzo in Michigan State.
But you know they'll give you a few elbows to the rib.
My Wolverines are going to be better than them this year.
There you go. But here's what will happen. Here's what's going to happen, Segs. Michigan State will get beat like in December in some tournament, or early January, right? And then around February, you'll get on there, and Clark Kellogg and all our guys on the studio shows will be saying, "Don't look now, Michigan State's won 9 in a row, 10 in a row." I know you don't want to give him any credit.
They'll slurp Tom Izzo down, and then he'll lose in the round of 32 like he's
nothing wrong with a good slurp on a good coach, dog.
Tom Izzo, the great coach who has the 1 national championship in what?
Whoa.
2000? Whoa. 2000 with Mateen Cleaves and Mo Pete in them?
Yeah, now you're going all the way back to
Izzo. Congrats on your 1 title 25 fucking years ago.
How many titles have you won in Michigan since 2000? Just what, 1 or not? How many titles, basketball titles, have you won? Say it again.
None. We've been there multiple times.
Yeah. What, do you want a trophy for being there?
We should have fucking beat Louisville. Louisville got theirs taken away.
Now you're mad at the guy who's won one, and you're
we still
want to give more credit to the team. 25
years later for it.
You're just tired of the slurping, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
He's fine.
Right.
He's fine.
You hate Michigan State. Don't kid you. Who do you hate more, Michigan State or Ohio State?
Oh, Ohio State. Michigan's again, like we always like Colson Loveless reminded last year, and Mike Hart back in the day. Michigan State's little brother. We just go sit in the corner. While the 2 big dogs actually fight it out for.
So you're saying Michigan State's let the adults have a conversation, is what you're saying.
Go sit in the corner while Michigan and Ohio State actually try and do good things.
Wow.
I actually give Ohio State credit for being a good football team every single year. I hate them.
Well, it's hoop season now, brother. Now let's stick to hoops. Who do you like?
It's, well, I mean, Ohio State's worse than Michigan State, but.
So you're going to say Ohio State take a seat. You're saying you cross over into both sports. Ohio State, you're keeping, that'd be a good run. Izzo's team will hang around, but I can't wait to every single time they play and win, I'm going to say, man, Izzo's best coach ever, dude. Just so you have to deal with it.
It'd be like you, I mean, UCLA. You love UCLA, I know. And their storied program that hasn't done shit. That hasn't done shit since Ed O'Bannon. But hey, we always have to hear about UCLA and watch out for UCLA. It's the same kind of thing, basically.
That's it's a really, like, really good point. UCLA. Football's us, basketball's supposed to be them. I'm not so sure they've been a lot better than us in basketball lately, though, either, to be honest with you.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the same kind of scenario.
And Musselman, right, we got Musselman. He knows how to coach him up. We got Musselman.
He does. They're
Nevada and Arkansas.
Top 25 team, USC. So they're one to watch this year as they
continue. You got to keep paying NIL, brother. There you go.
NIL, but it's also, can they compete with the physicality of the Big Ten? Just like in football, the same thing in basketball.
Biggest problem. It's the biggest problem they've had in the conversion segs for on both sports. There's no doubt.
Yeah. No doubt. So it's great to talk college hoops. I'm glad it's back. I get to trash.
Be a lot of good shit. Good. See, this is going to be a lot of shit talking. That's my favorite shit talking season is college.
Yeah. Hoops. We've got a ton, and we're going to have, you know, we got the big games coming up. Is that next week when
we always tournament get in Vegas?
Chicago,
Vegas tournament or Chicago?
It's coming up soon. And I can't remember off the top of my head, but we got a ton of college basketball.
I'm going to go look at those tournament schedule when we get off here, just to see when they're about to kick. You know, around Thanksgiving and all that. Yes. This is about time. So I'm going to go check out where they are. I know Vegas always has one. You mentioned Chicago. I think doesn't Madison Square Garden hold one, two segs? Or something?
I think Chicago
conference type of thing.
Back and forth. And they do that big where it's always like Kansas, Duke, Michigan State, and, you know, Kentucky.
Or top 10 teams type, right?
Add in some teams, but normally it's those big main ones.
And I'm going to keep an eye on Arkansas.
For some reason, Michigan State still gets invited to.
I'm going to keep an eye on Arkansas to see if NIL money's catapulted Calipari's team, because you know they're paying. They're going to be at the top of the NIL list this year. We'll see.
And it's
he didn't take the job for the hell of it, I can promise you that.
It's another year of trying to figure out portal, NIL, all that stuff of how does it affect college hoops. We've seen how it affects college football, and it's affected college hoops in a big way. Just another year to see how this continues and if the NCAA does anything about it.
Here's the big difference. In college hoops, your NIL is a year long for the great player.
Right.
In football, it's got to be three minimum. So and it plays into Calipari's hands. Give me all the money I can for one and done. I've been doing that forever. So we'll see how this turns out. But I love college hoops. This is the best time of year because we included that in it now as well.
We'll be talking college football a lot tomorrow. We'll wrap up the NFL trade deadline. Our poll questions from today. And this is something we're going to talk about. Should Deion Sanders be on the hot seat? We will discuss it tomorrow, but your options are yes, no, and not yet, but the seed is warming.
Who won the poll yesterday? How did we do yesterday?
Yesterday's poll question was best team in the AFC. Bills ran away with it at almost 63%. Then it went Pats at 16. Then it went Colts at 12. Then Chiefs at 10.
You know what that's called? Recency bias, ass whooping on national TV. That's exactly what that's called.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bills beat Chiefs. Pats almost lose to Falcons. Colts lose. Chiefs lose. So that's basically how that went. So
people are still treading like, can they put the Patriots as the number one team yet? People are struggling, thinking, well, like, just kind of like it's similar with the Colts. They feel like a wheel's going to fall off. But
it's
one thing they have. Both of those offenses are doing some things, and both are well coached. So we'll see if the Bills can hold this down. Good momentum for the Bills after that victory against the Chiefs in their building. They needed a signature win, and they got it. Impressive.
As always, and there still is no new trades that we have not talked about today, but we did have the big one of Sauce Gardner heading to the Indianapolis Colts for two first-round picks, heading back to the New York Jets. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to you, Sean. Thanks to all of our listeners. You are the reason we do this every single day. Thanks to all our sponsors. And if you want a sponsor, come on in. Hit us up. Hit Sean up. He'll take your money. We like it.
Damn right I do.
every single day. I'll have it, and you'll get your ROI here too, I promise.
Yep. We will be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.